All right, welcome back after a little bit of a hiatus to the Frogs of War podcast. I am Marshall Weber. I am still Marshall Weber. And according to my resources, or my sources and my resources, you are not.
I'm not. I am not. I am...
Still no one? Are you
no.
Returning back home?
I guess it doesn't make sense to be no one anymore.
Winterfell, so. Or Fort Worth.
I am that.
Not according
man.
To my Twitter, but... So I've not changed that. So maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. But yeah, I think the last time we were in this room... It was the last time we were in here when we talked to Westcott?
Yeah.
Was that after Memorial Day?
It was... I think it was the week before the Big 12 tournament started.
Side note, I just ate some of your Easter candy because it was...
It's been in there for a while.
Yeah, well
Easter... Since Easter, would assume. So.
Since March. It was good. Good gummies. The ones from Trader Joe's had a little
bunny
bit of,
shape,
had a little bit of a filling. It's like bunny heads.
It's kind of
morbid.
Kind of morbid.
Yeah, and I guess the
like, do we worship the bunny? Do we eat the bunny? What's the
little of both?
How does the bunny really fit in?
Little of both. I don't know. Never had rabbit. Or it's yeah. It's very Appalachian.
It's not very like. Meaty. I don't think.
Probably gamey. It's something you make in a stew.
Yeah,
I think Jennifer Lawrence did it in Winter's Bone.
Yeah,
Bran Stark was sucking rabbit's blood like 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I think it's very, very gamey meat, but I think something you make in a stew.
It's a delicacy if you're trying to survive. I'm sure.
That's true. It's true. Big couple of weeks though. There's a tournament in Europe going on. There's a tournament here, in the Americas going on. Wales won the day 3-0.
Hey, good for Wales.
Yeah, they beat England, or they didn't beat England, but they lost England actually. But they won their group.
I think I'm part Welsh,
which included.
So I guess I care about that.
Which included that, yeah. And two of my favorite players, Aaron Ramsey and Gareth Bale, are both on Wales. And
oh, I've heard of Gareth Bale.
Yeah, he's like the most like popular player in the world, well, other than like Messi and Ronaldo. He's probably definitely top five.
Do people not like Rooney anymore?
No, Rooney sucks. Yeah, people have turned on Rooney, man. He's old. We're not old, but he's kind of, I don't know.
Past his prime.
Yeah. So, I think it was the hair plugs. But, you know, Wales certainly has, speaking of hair and hair plugs, Wales, they're definitely, their thing for this Europe is bad hair. And there's actually a good piece on The Ringer about hair. I normally don't read that much about hair, but with Gareth Bale's, like, studio like samurai man bun and Aaron Ramsey's like decided to like bleach his hair like just Targaryen white right before the tournament, but I don't know, there's something that Gareth Bale said, I think maybe last week, he does it for the dragon and he does it for the shirt, so I like to think that's how Luke and Baker views his time at TCU in the college.
His hair is naturally bleached, by the way.
Which is naturally bleached. Gareth Bale's hair is not bleached, although he did have like some streak in it today or something. I don't know. It could be just a little sunspray.
I think Joe Madden's philosophy on looks is about as perfect as you can get. If you look hot, wear it.
Sure. I think Gareth Bale's really trying to cover up a bald spot. I think that's why he's doing it. Aaron Ramsey, I just think he wanted to look like a Bond villain, but... You know, speaking of, you know, the other pivot to that would be that Luke and Baker looks like a Bond villain or yeah. Thor. I'd say go with the villain, but
he would be the Bond villain that defeats Bond.
Yeah. He's kind of looks like the henchman, obviously, that, you know, Bond has to get to before the bad guy, but yeah.
He's got the plate approach of the actual bad guy.
Right.
Because he is a bad man.
He really is a bad man. And he's beaten single-handedly, more or less, big Texas schools in the past 2 weeks. Last two Fridays ago, I guess, in College Station.
Well, and you can throw Texas in there too if you want to go back that far.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't covered any postseason baseball yet. So.
I could have sworn we were here right before the Big 12 tournament, or right after.
Before, not after though.
Hmm.
We haven't touched postseason play.
Hmm. Interesting. Well. We're here now, and we're playing Coastal Carolina, and I would have put my...
In the most unlikely of matchups.
Really the most unlikely of matchups. I would have put a house and then some that we were going to play, who I think, I mean, maybe not anymore, but who I thought was the best team pretty much all year. I've thought this all year that Florida, the way they're built, the way they're coached, who they have on their team, you know, their offense isn't as flashy as A&M's. Didn't have quite the numbers, but just really well-rounded and, you know, I think better coached than A&M. But so now we're playing not them. We're playing Coastal Carolina, and with the help of Luke and Baker, who put a ball, I feel like, halfway to South Dakota to give us the win against Texas Tech in the top of the ninth. You know, we're here. We're here once again for College World Series trips, and we're here for the fourth time playing in the winner's bracket, but never have gotten that second win.
Yeah, and you know, there are just so many storylines throughout this season that are just fascinating. I mean, obviously probably the most, you know, the most interesting storyline is just kind of the season itself. The fact that, you know, we came in, nobody really knew what to expect. Everybody had kind of, you know, very tempered expectations, just kind of thinking like, hey, maybe we'll get a regional, maybe we'll get to a super regional. If we get that far, it's a hell of a season. You know, it's a rebuilding year. Obviously we've surpassed that. So at this point, you know, it's kind of free baseball at this point.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, with the esteemed Dr. Brown before we jumped on the pod here, of all the years.
Dr. Brown is your dad, because people don't know about your life.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's been on before.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. The real heads out there know who he is, maybe. Right, but
fair enough. But anyway, one day I will get a doctorate just for the sake of making my friends call me Dr. Brown. But that's
your friends will never call you Dr. Brown, even if you earn 10.
Neither here nor there. But you know, we were kind of talking about this that.
You could carry Zika tomorrow, and I think they would still call you Andrew, or Brownie, or that brown man.
Or something much more insulting.
Or Bug.
Yeah. Or like Zika Boy or something. But, yeah, so we were talking about how of all the years, and obviously there's a long way to go. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here, but of all the years that we could possibly win it, doesn't it just kind of make sense that this would be the one?
I mean, at this point,
just the year where it's like totally unexpected.
I was thinking about this actually today at work, and I don't know, about kind of midday, I think after lunch, can't really remember. But this is the team, what we're seeing right now, I feel like, is the team that this team was supposed to be like maybe middle part of next season. Mm-hmm. Like this is... We obviously have known all year that this is a really damn good baseball team, and Luggenbaker is, you know, a prize. You know, he's a diamond.
Yeah, like when you say prized recruit, this is the prize.
It's also, and we can just like take a quick pause here. No matter which sport, other than maybe college football, you're not going to find too many players like Luggenbaker, like this kind of thing happening, and it's. Just appreciate while you can, because a player like Luggenbaker is not going to play.
That's like a once in a program kind of player,
right?
Like,
and maybe like he starts some weird trend that happens with TCU, but probably not. And not only that's not a shot on TCU. That's just a player. It'd be like, I don't want to compare him to, you know, Mr. LeBron James, who finally got the city of Cleveland a title, but I mean it's close too. I mean it's something like that, you know. It's, I don't know, who other than like Tracy McGrady, or like who, like he's better than Tracy McGrady. Maybe we can't really call him LeBron James yet, can't call him Kobe Bryant.
I don't know where you're going with. You're going very,
how am I going at it?
You're going very cross sports here.
How am I going very cross sports here? What other,
well, you're comparing two completely different sports.
Yeah, but this is how like it works. You can make an analogy.
What's your comparison?
Finish. They're coming fucking out of high school to the pros.
Fair enough.
And they should have gone pro.
Fair enough.
And it's a fucking rare gem that, but instead of going to the pros, he goes to college.
Okay, fair enough.
Because they don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm saying he's not quite LeBron James level. He's not quite Kobe Bryant level. But I don't know, who's somebody in basketball that came out that, I don't know, didn't necessarily wasn't dubbed the next Messiah, but, you know, they were very, very good out of high school.
Well, guys like Dwight Howard, J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
NBA champion, J.R. Smith.
Sure. You know, yeah, there he is, J.R.
Kevin Garnett even wasn't...
Kevin Garnett, yeah, sure, he's a player like that. I mean, he's not necessarily, like, the Messiah. Nobody's, like, crying, this kid is the next, like, Bryce Howard. Yeah, did I say that right? Why do I have Bryce Dallas Howard stuck in my head? Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Dallas Howard. Great fall on all social media platforms, and great work in Jurassic World. Not to be confused with Jessica Chastain, which I get confused all the time, and I love both of those actresses. But, yeah, so, I mean, he's not necessarily the Messiah, but, I mean, he could be, but he certainly doesn't have the hype. You know, he's not, like, on Sports Illustrated, like, again, to go to cross sports like LeBron James was. But, and then again, there's probably not that much interest in high school baseball as there is, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago when these kids in basketball were coming out of school. But what we're saying is it's very rare. Like, nothing like this is ever going to happen, I think, again, at TCU, or maybe not even anywhere else.
Well, so the last time we got a player of even in the ballpark, you know, pardon the pun, but in the ballpark of, you know, Baker's caliber was, I guess you could say, when Perk came to TCU. And, you know, he was a first-round draft pick who, obviously, for financial reasons, the Rangers couldn't sign him out of high school, and so he came to TCU instead. Baker, I mean, he just straight-up signed. I mean, he obviously, I'm sure if you're a follower of the program, I'm sure you've heard the story by now that he wrote a letter or email, however he transcribed it, to every major league team and said, hey, I'm going to college, don't bother.
I would have liked to have seen him writing that letter. Just late at night, dabbing the pen. Dear Major League Baseball.
I like to think that he uses
semicolon.
A quill.
A quill, yeah, exactly. A little quill, a little organic ink, something of the sort. But yeah, so where he is now is kind of like how you would expect him to be playing, like, midway through last year or next year, you know? This team is playing already. They hit some switch, they hit something. They've hit some gear to where they've already kind of jumped past the team they showed themselves to be, you know, right? You know, when we saw them in person against Texas, and, you know, kind of underwhelming, but you could still see that there was a lot to be excited for, but just maybe not this season necessarily. And then, you know, they lose 2 of 3 to Tech in Fort Worth, and they drop a series against Baylor, and it's just like, all right, they've lost pretty much every Big 12 series they've played, and then they finally hit a groove, and they play outstanding in the Big 12 tournament. They get a regional bid, and everything just kind of starts, you know, putting the pieces together. And, like, you know, we've said a few times before already in this podcast, it's playing like the midway through 2017, I feel like.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, it's just, especially for how young the team is, they're mature for their age.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the thing that has made this team, I think, so much fun to watch and to follow all season, is because, you know, you're looking at 19-year-old kids, and they're just doing things they shouldn't be doing yet. And, you know, at first it was kind of like, all right, you know, they're coming out of the gates hot, they're playing well, and then, you know, they keep doing it, they keep doing it, they keep doing it. You know, like you said, they hit a rough patch late in the season, but, you know, they got it figured out. And you know, there's no fluke with this team. I mean, this is an extremely talented
baseball team. The pitching is starting
team.
To come together. I mean, Jancic, eight strikeouts in, like, 5 innings. I mean, he hasn't slowed down. I mean, you thought maybe he would regress a little bit after, you know, the great game in College Station, but, I mean, he was right there with it. Tree glass.
Just great move, moving him out of the... I mean, I guess it was partly by necessity, but...
Yeah, I mean, he was Baker's, like, number two. He was kind of like Baker would throw 3, 4 maybe, and then he would come in, and that became permanent. So
yeah,
so I don't know. I mean, I think we were talking about this downstairs a bit. I mean, and I was thinking about it too. I know you and your dad were thinking about it. It was kind of just game theory you could just make yourself go crazy with. I mean, do you start Brian Howard tomorrow, or do you start Traver, who's, while been great in the past, is kind of not really at his form he has been since returning from injury?
I mean, you have to look at matchups first of all. Obviously, they're in stature, they're kind of similar, but they're two different pitchers. Howard is, I think, a little bit more of a finesse guy than Traver. So you kind of have to look at how they match up with Coastal Carolina. But I think you throw Howard, because I think he gives you your best chance to win. At least you can, you know, their most predictable chance to win.
And while Coastal Carolina is good, I mean, this is not TCU's always had a problem with these second games, you know. But this team isn't UCLA from 2010. We're not facing Trevor Bauer tomorrow.
Not facing Vanderbilt from last year.
We're not facing Virginia from 2014.
Yeah. I mean, so, but, you know, give credit where credit is due.
Did Virginia beat Vanderbilt in 2014?
No, other way around.
So Vanderbilt won it back-to-back.
No. Who did? No, Virginia won it, then Vandy won it.
Yeah, so we lost. So we've lost to two champions back-to-back.
No, didn't Virginia win it last year?
And Vandy. That's right. Maybe me. You're right. So yeah. We flopped. Okay.
Okay, but anyways, regardless. You know, Coastal Carolina, they're a good team, and they're hot right now. So you got to throw. I mean, obviously, you got to throw somebody good. You're going to throw somebody good anyway. But I think just, you know, like you were saying, we've never won the second game, even though we've always won the first game. And I think you have to put yourself in the best position to go 2-0.
Especially last year. I mean, you know, in the past it's been like slightly different because we've always had such a deep
pitching staff. You've had four starters, you know.
So it's obviously been like more, I mean, these one-run, two-run games that are three-run, I think it was against UCLA. So it's just been a different beast. And now you have I'm not trying to hold anything against, you know, Coastal Carolina, they're a great team. They're really well coached. But again, I think this is a team you can kind of just throw Howard against and not have to worry the same. It's just different than Vanderbilt and Virginia the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, the strategy is different, certainly, I think. And
I mean, you know, they've got some athletic players, especially in the middle of their lineup, that guys that are maybe not going to.
Because you're all, yeah.
You know, they're not going to hit it over the fence, but guys who are going to put the ball in play. But I think that kind of works more to Howard's strength, just because he throws such a ridiculously, you know, downhill angle, and he.
Because at the worst, like, who is Florida or Coastal Carolina going to play? You know, if you go out and throw Traver and he loses, like, who are they going to have left, really? I mean, they're going to, have another game in there. So, I don't know. I think you got to throw Howard. I think you got to put your best foot forward.
I think you have to go 2-0. I mean, maybe you just have to.
Yeah. So,
and especially if Florida wins, or you know what I mean, Florida's probably gonna have to throw puck against Tech.
Yeah,
I would think, because he's probably the best arm they have left, and you know, and I mean they're a deep rotation, but you know, it's a survive and advance mode, so you kind of have to go with your best guy in that situation, especially against a, you know, very offensively talented team like Tech. So. You know, whoever wins that game will probably have burned their second best pitcher. And, you know, if, obviously, again, we're assuming a lot, but if TCU beats Coastal Carolina, then the winner of that game is going to have to play Coastal Carolina. And, you know, at that point, if TCU's sitting there 2-0, they're going to be facing, at best, a number three starter for, you know, with the opportunity to advance to the championship. So, you know, it's just where we are.
Winning that second game is so, like,
yeah,
big.
It's absolutely, you might as well, every bit as crucial as winning the first one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're going to burn Traver, I'm not like saying Traver's a guaranteed loss, but at this point in the season, you'd rather have Howard pitch. And I'd rather Traver, even if you win, I almost would rather have, Traver in that third game regardless.
And even, you know, Traver, even if he pitches well, he's not going to be able to go, like, complete game. I mean, he's just not healthy enough for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can go, if you know, say you get 8 innings out of Howard, you can go pitcher by committee in the third game.
Yeah, exactly. I just would rather take the chance. Even if you lose, I would rather lose with Howard than Traver. Not because I dislike Traver, but, I mean, to reemphasize, I mean, I like the way, I mean, Howard's just pitching a lot better right now.
Well, I mean,
like you said,
if you look at the body of work, he's been our best pitcher all year.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, you know, Traver's not going to get you a lot of innings. And you want a guy that's going to go 6, 7, 8 at least tomorrow night.
I mean, at this point, a great outing for Traver, just strictly based on health issues, is 6 innings.
Yeah, Traver throwing against a tired Coastal or tired Florida team is a lot better than, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing. If you're playing a team as fatigued and has already played 3 games, and then you have a guy throwing, you know, mid-90s with a nasty slider.
I mean, there's just too much of a risk. I mean, yeah, it'd be cool if we could throw Traver, win tomorrow against Coastal, and then just, you know, just kick some team while they're down and throw Howard, because, I mean, that would almost be, I feel like, a guaranteed win. But you just got to put you know, your best foot forward.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, what do you think is different about this team than it is last year? Because it just seems more...
They hit the shit out of the ball. Yeah. I mean, that's...
I think it's true that I think they're just more aggressive. They're more aggressive on the bases. They're just better hitters. They're more patient, despite how young they are. And it's, I think like we're saying at the beginning of the year, it's this team's got a little more of a tude.
Yeah.
Got a few more assholes on the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I miss Derek O'Dell and Keaton Jones, I really do miss Keaton, but those guys really couldn't. I mean, O'Dell was fine, but they could never really hit at the right time.
Yeah,
I mean,
they weren't Keaton, clutch.
Yeah. You know, Keaton could really never hit, but he was one of the best fielders I've ever seen. You know, consistent fielders I've ever seen in the college level, but yeah, none of those guys could hit. Even when this was 2 years ago playing, like, he was just like, all right, when are we going to get to Boomer White? Ha. When are we going to get to Kevin Crone? Because after that, we're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, Dylan Fitzgerald a little bit, but, I mean, it just, at any point in this lineup, I feel confident. And that's kind of what I've been, feel like I've been writing about the past, like, few weeks, and really the whole season. It's just like, at any point, I'm never, like, have a bad feeling in my gut at any point when somebody is up to bat. Whereas last year, you kind of did. You're like, shit, well, this, we have 6, 7, 8 coming up. Well, nothing's going to happen this inning. We might as well just start preparing for the next
one. And, you know, not even because you're expecting a bomb out of any of them. I mean, they've all proven they have, you know, pretty much 1 through 9, they have power. But they just all, again, we were talking about this before the podcast, they just have incredible plate approaches. I mean, all of them, really. They, you know, were among the tops in the NCAA in walks. You know, like, I was watching the game yesterday, and they're talking about Austin Wade, and they're saying, yeah, he's batting, you know, 270 or whatever he's batting. Not great for your leadoff guy, but his on base is like 480 because he just
batting average is kind of overrated.
Very deceptive, yeah. On base percentage is a much more telling statistic, but yeah, I mean, you got guys like Wade just taking pitches, working pitch counts, which even if you're not getting on base, that's fatiguing the hell out of the pitcher. If, you know, even if you're going 3 up, 3 down, if it's taking you 20 pitches to do it, that adds up real quick. And when opposing pitchers start to wear down, that's where you see guys make mistakes, like the one that Tex pitcher made to Lucan Baker yesterday. That was supposed to be low and away, ends up middle in, and obviously Baker, you know, sent that thing to South Dakota, like you said. Yeah. So
TCU's 11th in walks. They had 3 and 5. Coastal Carolina had 316, so they're obviously a team that's pretty well disciplined. Not completely dissimilar, I feel like, in their approach. Like you said, put the ball in play. So, I mean, I feel like we're putting Coastal Carolina down a bit. I just, you know, it's their first time in Omaha. We've been here 3 straight years. It's really just time to, like, actually...
to break through.
Do something in the second game. And then once you get through the second game, especially with Miami being eliminated today, you know, the only national seed on that side of the bracket, you kind of like your chances going forward.
Because
I said this in the regional preview that I thought Arizona is a better team than Arizona State, but, you know, we crushed Arizona State, and the difference between Arizona and Arizona State really isn't, like, the gap isn't that wide, or at least when I was running through the stats, running through how they played each other. But, you know, it's obviously, the tournament is about timing and how well you can play and how hot you are, and, you know, TCU, Oklahoma State, Arizona are all pretty red hot. So it's going to be...
Well, keep in mind, Arizona won it
Coastal Carolina. I mean, Coastal Carolina is playing out of their skull as well.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Florida and Miami, like, despite me thinking that Florida was the best team in the country all year, and they still could very well be. I mean, they could still
probably the most talented, but same thing as when we were playing A&M. It's not the, you know, Schlossnagel said it's not the best team. It's the team that plays the best. And Florida...
Son of fortune cookie, I think.
Seems, yeah, well.
I think it's written, yeah, I don't know, some hookah bar, I feel like.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, I don't know. I think we're both on the same page. I think you got to throw Howard tomorrow. I don't know. I'll spoil this. I mean, this is a reader question. I think this person ended up asking a couple of questions anyway. I mean, do you stick with Landeskog, or do you put Juan Hanen in?
It's honestly, at this point, I think it's just based on the matchup. If you got a righty, Juan Hanen, if you got a lefty, Landeskog. I mean, I think neither of them have really separated themselves from the other at this point.
Yeah, which, I'm going Landis. I think he has a hotter bat. I think he's playing better
not
defensively.
Against a righty. I'd put Juan Honen up.
Mm, I don't know.
They're both going to give you about the same on defense.
I don't know, man.
I think you got to play the matchups.
Yeah. That's fair. I think they will play the matchup, but if it's up to me, if I could only start one.
Now, I will say the one thing I will say is while Juan Honen obviously has more postseason experience, the team sure does seem to rally around Landestoy.
Yeah.
He does seem to kind of be a spark plug. So, I think Schloss has kind of proven at this point that he knows how to push the right buttons. So I think whoever he runs out there, I'm going to have the utmost confidence in him. This is one of those moments where as a sports fan in the past, I've let myself get a little too optimistic just because we are sitting in a really, really good situation right now. So
it's almost say something's owed, something's not, but after 2 years of having to play a really, really hard second game, and again, I'm not trying to put down Coastal Carolina because it could very well bite me in the ass.
People used to say that stuff about TCU.
Yeah, but I don't know. But also, in our first time in Omaha, we got beat by a team with more experience in UCLA. So,
well, we took them to the wire.
In that first game, a bit. I mean, we still got dominated.
No, I mean, we got dominated in the first game. Then we beat them the second time when Perk pitched.
Yeah.
And then the third time, who was it? Featherston hit a triple to bring it within one. Bases clearing triple.
Then we ended up getting.
And then they shut the door.
Then we got smoked. Right? We got beat pretty bad.
I don't think so. I think, look it up. I think it was a. I mean, I think they might have pulled away a bit. But
I think they kicked our ass pretty good. I think they beat us by like 5 or 6.
Yeah, regardless. I don't know. That was a while ago. But, point being, baseball is one of those sports where small schools can have really, really good baseball programs. But Coastal Carolina also burned their ace for probably the rest of the postseason last night. So, that keeps their bullpen fresh, which is good for them.
But, and we still haven't used ours, so that, that's the...
Yeah, so that's kind of the kicker, is we were able to
get through. Yeah, they beat us 10-3 in the second game.
Okay, so they pulled away late, but it was 4-3 at one point.
Well, it could be 4-3,
Well, 4-3 late in the game, I think. It was like in the 6th or 7th inning.
Point is, they still beat us by 7 runs. It's a lot of runs. It's a blowout.
Yeah, but...
Anything more than 5 is certainly a blowout, I think. But fine.
I don't know. Point being, I like our chances.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock on wood, though.
Yeah, so do I. So hopefully next time we're talking about specifically we're doing our own baseball spiel. We're in a lot better mood and maybe talking about a national championship. Which, although it's next Monday, right? Next Monday and Tuesday.
Is it that soon?
Yeah, it's only like a 10-day tournament.
Yeah, they run through these pretty quick.
So let's go answer these reader questions. There aren't really many. We can kind of blow through these pretty quickly, and then we can talk about Thrones and dip.
And thank you for actually submitting questions. I know we haven't. Not only have we not done a podcast in about a month, but we haven't asked for questions, and probably since football season. So. We appreciate the response.
This one's from Elliot Johnson. What will it take for TCU to win the College World Series, and who is better at first base? Juan Honen and Landestoy. So we already kind of like answered the second part, but I don't know. To answer the first part, you can't really just can't really like tell somebody to keep the momentum going, but just have faith. Have faith in the system. Have faith in, each other. Just trust whatever decision Schlossnagel makes. If he throws Traver tomorrow, trust it. And just realize this team, you get to throw so many cliches in there, but, Luke and Baker, top of the ninth, down 3-2, makes it a 5-3 ball game. So this team's never out. This team can actually hit. I guess the reassurance here is that this isn't a team from last year. This isn't the team from 2014 that are still mostly playing, I think, close games, but it's a team that can actually pull away offensively, and they're getting similar results from their pitching staff in these important games as they were these last few years, but the difference being that they can actually hit. I mean, is the pitching talent deep? No, but it's doing pretty much the same thing. So when you add offense in there, actual good offense that's can, you know, strike you from anywhere 1-9, yeah, you have to like your chances. What would you say?
I mean, same thing. You know, I think the one maybe specific I would give on top of that is I think at some point in the next game or two, either Skaug or Watson is going to come up in, a big situation, and they're going to have to deliver. Obviously, Skaug, you know, he got on base to set the table for, Baker's, ultimate game-winning bomb. But I think at one point, or at some point, one of those two is going to come up with a chance to do something big, and I think they're going to have to deliver. But
yeah, and I also think where they're playing, I mean, we don't really talk about this, but they're also playing for something pretty special, and that's Micah. So when you have that kind of motivation, when you have, like, again, something you haven't really had the past 2 years, which once again is an offense, I don't know, maybe the stars are actually aligned, you know. You watch those videos, and if you haven't, I encourage you to go watch the video. I think it came out Sunday about Micah. It's on the NCAA website. I think we retweeted it, TCU Baseball retweeted it. It's really just Skaug, Traber, and Howard, and Schlossnagel. So,
yeah,
everybody's probably familiar with the story, but that piece in there, and they're playing four more than a national championship. So,
I mean, it's tragic to think about it this way, but winning this whole deal, I mean, honestly, it's going to be one of the things that makes this kid's life. You know,
yeah.
They have a very good grasp on the entire thing, and I think the perspective that they're carrying, is tremendous. And obviously you have to applaud all of those guys who again are very young men. 19 and 20 for the most part. So, they're definitely playing for something bigger than themselves right now.
All right, this guy asks a lot of questions. But I love this guy. We can't answer them all because some of them we've already actually gone over. But at YellMK, I've always wondered if I've said that right.
Is that supposed to be like a MK?
I think it's probably their initial.
Oh, probably.
Something with Yell. DuVernay, which is the high-priced recruit, is visiting Fort Worth. Where do you take him?
Anywhere?
Sorry. Well, it says places on off-campus food, et cetera. But food. Because here's another little quick sidebar. Tomorrow, yes, is a little bit about baseball, but it's also about barbecue. And it's about the right way to do barbecue versus the wrong way to do barbecue.
Talking Texas versus Carolina. Yeah.
Although, I do like Carolina barbecue, but, I mean...
Now, they're more the saucy type, right?
They're more like vinegar. Wait, North Carolina... South Carolina is like a mustard base, and North Carolina is more like vinegar-based sauce.
Okay. So it's fine. I mean, I'll take Texas barbecue over almost any food on earth. I would argue a well-smoked brisket, you can't beat that. Like, don't bother trying. Nothing beats that.
Yeah, I mean, Coastal Carolina is in South Carolina, so they're dealing with the more... mustard base, but both the Carolinas, I think Texas. I just feel like anytime you play someone from Missouri or the Carolinas, like, or Tennessee, barbecue's at stake. So
I do, I respect any place that's really has pride in their barbecue, though.
The underlying narrative, so do I.
Yeah,
and I love no matter honestly how disgusting all barbecue,
their barbecue is
right. I don't know. I'd like to try Heim Barbecue. I've never been there.
Well, I'd take him to Woodshed would probably be the first place. I mean, here's something you have to consider. You have to take him to a place with good food, obviously. But there's, you could argue after Austin, I guess Dallas and Houston have great food. But
Houston has better food than Austin.
Agree to disagree, but...
Okay. All right. They have more options.
That's fine.
What's better in Austin that's better in Houston?
I don't know, like, everything?
Everything?
Everything. Every single thing.
God, you're... I'm not, whatever. We're both from here, but Houston has way more options in food than Austin does. I'll be the first to admit that. We have fucking Torchies. Like, cool. And we have... We do have better barbecue. I've never been to Killen's, but... I don't know. Overall, they just have more choices.
Well, yeah, because the city's like six times the
size. Yeah, and that makes it better. It's right. Like New York has better food than Austin because it's a bigger city. So you're
quantity over quality, guys.
No, I'm saying there's more options. When there's more options, there's going to be better places.
I don't know. I think the
New York, what has better food, New York and Austin? New York or Austin?
Well, I mean, probably New York.
Yeah, because it is a bigger city.
Well, also because they have like literally world-class restaurants.
That's what Houston has.
Yeah. Agree to disagree, but...
I think I have the proof I can show you.
Whatever. Fort Worth has great food. That's the point I was getting at. And
it's so better than Austin? Do they have world-class restaurants?
No, but they're getting there. But, you know, you got to take him to Woodshed, I think, because
you love because you love Tim Love?
No, he's a douche, but that dude can cook.
Because he's back there making the food every time?
It's his recipes.
Liberally
taken. Give credit where credit is due, you know. But anyways, I also think part of the TCU experience when you're taking recruits around is you got to show them.
What are you going to take them, like play cornhole and get them drunk at Woodshed?
No, I'm just saying you got to give them a little taste of campus life. And Woodshed is, you know. Did you know apparently over there they put in like a Whole Foods that I guess it failed, but like they really developed that area like even more than.
What do you mean it failed? It's not there anymore?
I think so. I don't know. That's what somebody said. I haven't been there in a while, obviously.
Really? How reliable is your source?
Fairly reliable.
What do you mean it closed? What did they say verbatim?
I don't know. But
it's closed or like, nah.
Dude, I don't know. I was in Vegas.
I don't go there anymore.
I don't totally recall. So don't put me on the spot.
You gotta get your facts straight. With everything. You gotta read the food blogs. All I'm saying is like, even per capita, I think Houston has better food.
I just disagree. I mean, I've eaten, obviously...
I think you should take your blinders off. You experience the world. I think
you got to put your blinders on.
Right. Because that's what you should do. You should always, like, limit yourself. Make yourself, like, more just naive. But, yeah, whatever. What are we talking about?
Recruiting.
Were we going to take this kid before you, like... Every, like, bit of your soul cried because you realize Austin isn't number one in everything?
Austin is number one in everything, including traffic.
Oh, again, Houston traffic is way worse.
Houston beats us in that. I'll give them that. But
you're only bad in Austin in traffic if you're stupid. If you know your way around, you'll be fine. But, I don't know. Yeah, so you're going to take him to Woodshed and I'll let
give him... Give him the TCU experience, man.
Yeah. Then the last question we're going to answer is from a younger fan, I think. At least in his bio, he said he was like a high school kid. Ethan Weiner, could be Ethan Weiner, I don't know. Is I before E would make it Weiner, right? This kid's EI, so I guess it'd be Weiner. Best TC sports moment in the last 3 years?
That's a hell of a question. I mean... As awesome as Baker's home run was, that's not even the best baseball moment. I think Curry's grand slam was...
In the last 3 years,
that was, I guess, a while ago.
That was 6 years ago?
Yeah, whatever. God, you're being sassy tonight.
Well, you said it was in the question.
Well, I was only half listening, so...
Yeah, again, your fault for being naive.
Well...
You only have yourself to blame.
I was trying to take off the blinders and broaden my horizons. Sorry for that, but...
And you missed the question completely.
I mean, probably for me, it would be either the Peach Bowl win or
I think so too,
or beating
I think
Baylor.
That we can agree
beating
on
Baylor in the monsoon would be the other one that would be a second.
As much as I hate to include a non-live event, it's probably the Peach Bowl. I mean, even the beating Texas for the first time here was cool. That was 4 or 5 years ago, almost 4 years ago, I guess. But yeah, I mean, as much as it sucks to say a game we watched on TV and didn't experience live, it has to be the Peach Bowl because we went through the whole shit, the whole year, you know, the gut, you know, wrenching loss to Baylor and you know, you come back and people say you don't deserve to be in the playoff and you get left out of the playoff and, you know, you have this SEC team that thinks they're going to beat you and you just go and you just completely demolish them. And it just kind of validated, I feel like, our whole season. And going out on a note, being in a team 42-3, you know, as cool as the Alamo Bowl. I mean, I don't know. The Alamo Bowl is like once in a lifetime because you're never going to see a comeback like that again. But when you're just validated like that, it gives you so much pride. And
yeah, I mean, just as a whole, like TCU just as a school could not have possibly looked better than we did against the, like, you know, in the Peach Bowl. I mean, it's just, you know, you see these articles that have come out recently with, you know, Del Conte talking about kind of the how football and baseball elevated the program, and baseball has, you know, maybe not monetarily helped so much as football, but, you know, just in terms of the branding that we get from, you know, going to Omaha, you know, three straight years. Just the branding that the school got from just the absolute shellacking that they gave to Ole Miss. I mean, it was just, it couldn't have been more perfect. So, as great as the story was in the Alamo Bowl, as far as the best moment for me, it was probably beating the shit out of Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah. All right, well, that probably does it for user questions. I mean, you want to talk about Game of Thrones real quick?
Yeah, always.
So, I think we actually did not watch last night's episode together, but I think we both enjoyed it. Episode 9s have always been big. Baylor, season 1, Blackwater, season 2, season 3 was Reigns of Casimir, The Red Wedding. 4 would have been Watchers on the Wall. Last year was Dance of Dragons, or The Dance with Dragons. And then, obviously, this year being The Battle of the Bastards. I mean, where do you rank them in terms of that 9th kind of almost signature? Pretty much the, you know, every year you know you're going to get something big at 9, and that's kind of the show's signature. I mean, they have more money now, so they can do other bigger stuff throughout, but I don't know, where would you rank that into the other 9? Because it certainly deserves its own category,
yeah,
for
that,
sure.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I think probably the one that I would put at the top would be The Red Wedding.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, like...
Did we watch that together?
No, I was in London.
Because I was just, yeah, I was with... Yeah. You were watching that season with us, I think, but...
Until I left, yeah. No, because I was still in school.
Yeah, but you were back for the summer.
No. I don't think so.
When...
No, because I left from Fort Worth, so I didn't...
No, because you...
Yes.
Your car was missing that summer, and remember, I had to drive you home.
No, because I stayed...
Summer of 2013.
I stayed...
You were definitely here for like 3 weeks before you went to London. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong.
I don't think I was. I think I stayed up there.
Maybe not, because I remember taking you to Pete Terry's a lot. You didn't have your vehicle.
Well, after... I don't know. I don't remember. That was too long ago. I've had blinders on, so I don't remember.
God, you're so salty and sad because you know I'm right.
But I don't know. I don't recall, but...
Not about this. I'm saying about the food. I'm over it. You seem still bothered by it.
This is a debate that we will take to our graves, but...
I'm saying it's good. Austin food's amazing, but like Houston just has more options. And when you throw that in there, even if you do per capita, it's going to come out ahead.
I don't know. I'm very much on a percentage basis with stuff, but
that's what whatever. It is. That's what we're talking about. That's what I said. Per capita, it's a percentage. It's a narrow down.
Whatever. I put Red Wedding number 1.
So would I.
Probably.
We agree on everything except for this. I'm just saying, I'm from here. I love being from here, but.
Probably the Ned Stark beheading number 2.
Baylor, sure.
I guess I'd probably put Last Night ahead of Watchers on the Wall.
I think so too, because there was more at stake. It was more satisfying.
Yeah.
Watchers on the Wall, you know, not a bad outcome.
It was an extremely entertaining episode, but
this was more at stake. I mean, I thought, if you didn't know, Lord Baelish and the Knights of the Vale were going to come through busting in there. I don't know, like, what you're doing, but yeah, there's just more at stake in this episode, and it was cool to see that little pre-showdown with
Well, that was one of the most well shot and well directed battle scenes I've ever seen.
It is just their most expensive, one by far, and it definitely showed, and really like the little pre thing with like Lyanna Mormont. Yeah. She on the horse. Although I'm glad she got the safety. I'm glad she didn't have to like fight in that battle.
Yeah.
I think she would have died pretty quickly. And also, what's the deal with Rickon? Does this dude not know how to run, like, run some routes?
Yeah, zigzag. Like, what? I feel like that's
running
like...
a straight line, like, you could hand... That's like a carnival game. Like a little 12-year-old kid could do that.
Just or at least,
shoot
like...
an arrow up in the air and just... I don't know.
I would just backpedal the whole way.
Yeah, so would I.
Just, like, keep an eye out
I mean,
for
once you
arrow,
go... Once yeah. I got, like, a good lead, I would just start, like, I don't know, crawling or something. Or, I don't know, zigzagging or... Yeah, like backpedaling. What is Ramsay going to do? Yeah.
But I mean, back then, you know, those guys, where I say back then, this is a mythical land, but in medieval times, you know, guys with longbows, those they're like snipers. I
yeah.
Mean,
and that, you know, yeah, I thought you were going to say, like, it was like honorable for him to run a straight line, but yeah, I mean, that's what John tried to do.
Fuck honor, man.
Well, that's what...
Live.
Well, that's what Jonathan Snow proposed... to Ramsay was kind of like a David and Goliath thing. You know, that's like, I'm not trying to like, the one thing in the Bible I know very little, except David and Goliath was when David and Goliath fought, you know, instead of having this massive battle and losing all these casualties, you stick your two best men against each other. And, you know, obviously Goliath has won. Nobody wanted to fight Goliath. So David and his little rock came up, slung a little slingshot, flung at his head. He died. And
isn't that kind of more like the viper on the mountain?
Yeah, kind of. But I think a little bit. But, I mean, the idea of risking casualties is more kind of what John proposed.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of both. I mean, but, you know, the Viper was already kind of a well-known fighter. But, yeah, I definitely think it's probably number three. I just think there was probably more at stake. I don't know. I think I like Blackwater more just because Blackwater was such a big deal. Like, I mean, they have more money now and you kind of expect it in episode 9, but... Blackwater is pretty, like, groundbreaking, you know? I mean, that's the first time anything like that had ever been on TV.
Yeah.
And as cool as it is to see, like, her fly on dragons in, like, some, like, video game and burn people down, and then you get a big battle after. It's just kind of, like, almost par for the course. And it was rewarding, but Blackwater, just a complete game changer. Plus, like...
Especially, that was kind of a otherwise boring season. Not...
It's slow. I mean, a lot of people think Clash of Kings is a
slow
season. That's the season it's... It's based off Clash of Kings, which people think is the slow book, but it's actually probably one of my favorite seasons. It's the last time I've ever like really enjoyed like Daenerys' stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
I like it now, but I mean, it's just such
that
like
was the most politics I think of probably any season.
Yeah, it's about like the maneuvering and the politics and kind of the strategy behind what goes into like these wars, and yeah, I really 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 like the second season. So I actually probably put Blackwater number two, maybe Baylor three, this one four.
I see. I just put Baylor number two just because that really set the tone for the entire series.
Watch on the Wall five. Yeah,
I think
it did.
We both agree that the one last year
the
was...
dragon. Yeah, the one last year was awful.
Just
or not awful, but it was just like
it's just last season looked, in general was just below par for Game of Thrones.
It looked better. It looked better last night, but I still think her riding a dragon is just like the CGI is not there.
Well, that's... So. I'm not a CGI expert, but I have to imagine
it's expensive. It looked better last. I mean, it looked really good last night, but I mean, I just think, I don't know. Someone, I think it also might have been on The Ringer. I think it was Chris Ryan that said it's like she's like Rajon Rondo. She does nothing, and then until she does something really big, and I don't know. Which is true, but it's also if like Rajon Rondo was.
And Rondo kind of looks like a baby dragon.
Yeah, he kind of is. Definitely has dragon features, but actually I don't know, I guess it'd just be him looking like a dragon makes him have dragon features. But side note, him god, who, I don't know, I forgot what it was, somebody called Steph Soft or something, I don't know, whatever, there's a really good vine in the past week with Rajon Rondo, but yeah, her stuff is just, I don't know, I just, it just seems like that. She's like, nothing happens, and she's like, oh, cool, she has a dragon. And it just kind of like bails her out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think it's kind of boring. But it was cool. The stuff I do like is the stuff that's more like the politicking of it. Like when, I always call her by the book name, even though I've like only really kind of like skimmed the outlines of the books and just filled them. Yeah, because she has a different name in the book. But Yara, that kind of whole... exchange was really really great, and yeah, it's kind of like a little dream team, you know what I mean? Just anytime like people can kind of collude and kind of join forces. Definitely pro. I don't know. So next week we get like a 70 minute episode. I think it's actually 69. Nice.
Nice.
And, yeah, so I really, really enjoyed the season. I think, you know, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people think it's too happy, which is weird. But I think after last season, after being kind of drug in the dirt, the kind of the natural progression is to kind of swing the pendulum back. And they also have a story to tell. And somebody was writing about this also, that the whole, I don't know, people think it's going to be like a pessimistic outcome with the show. But now it's like, well, it's probably going to be actually a positive one, you know. If this world, if this...
Maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, people will die, characters will die, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to be dragons frying the White Walkers, and, you know, we'll lose some people on the way, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a relatively happy experience, so, I don't know. I don't think, any, you know, Daenerys is going to get shot in a bathroom listening to Don't Stop Believing, so.
Yeah.
Shot in a restaurant, excuse me. Tony Soprano wasn't, spoiler, wasn't in the bathroom. Great episode. Great series, too.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
I'm sorry. If you don't know the ending of The Sopranos, that was like 10 years ago. Or like 9. I don't know. 2007 it ended. So, yeah. If you haven't seen the ending of The Sopranos, sorry. You have, I don't know. What can you do? Anyway, I don't know. Do you have anything else? Do you have anything we missed?
I think we covered pretty much everything. I mean, I've had blinders on this entire time, so I've probably missed some stuff. But
yeah. Cool. Anyway, you're cut out of next week's. I'm just going to do it by myself in my car. And, all right. Well, we'll as good as place as any to end it. Hopefully, we'll beat South Carolina or Coastal Carolina from South Carolina. And, yeah. I've been Marshall Weber.
I have not.
You have not. And, yeah. This is, yeah. Little Grateful Dead cover. Off
White Walker, Grateful Dead kind
of. Although I don't think either of us are huge like Deadheads, but this album, which you can find on Spotify and I assume Apple Music, a bunch of Grateful Dead covers called Day of the Dead, has bands like this is Phosphorescent, but it has other bands like War on Drugs, Jim James from My Morning Jacket. As Real Estate, Kurt Vile, a bunch of other really good bands. So if you're into this kind of music at all, I suggest you check it out. So, yeah, we already did the outros, and hope you have a nice Tuesday.
Go Frogs.